There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. But I'm a bad up for two attacks. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, and your symbol of justice for those who don't know. And I'm the arms of the world, trying to trouble. And if you want to step one, baby, I'm coming after you. And welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one news source for Marvel Avengers Alliance. I am Epic Boss McFall. Along with me is the... Yeah, you've been earning it back lately. So, Boss Klotz, you get to keep your name. You've been doing
Excuse me?
Wow, starting off the show like that.
Well, I had to be fair because like 2 weeks ago, somebody tuned in and was like, hey, that guy on the right, he's kind of hard on you. I was like, that's his job, is to be hard on me. So, you know.
It's literally what I get paid to do.
I get, give it
not
back
very much, but I mean, you know.
We missed your soapboxes, and you've gotten on it.
He had one last week.
Last week was great.
I had a real good one last week. I mean, yeah. I felt like, you know, worked out. Like,
I was like, oh, it's good to be back.
I had some major catharsis going on. I was feeling good for a couple days.
That's awesome. And with the headlines is the golden voice we all tune in for, Golden Age Ibbit.
Yes. All right. So here's what's been happening in your game recently and what's coming. The Amazing Spider-Woman Alt has been released. Not as we kind of looked at it last week. Not hugely different from the current costume. Some color changes or color placement changes, but, you know, nothing like the Hyperion color changes or differences between the alts. We'll talk about that. Of course, that new alt might be causing CVEs. And if you get CVEs for more than 4 hours, please consult a physician. Also, Spec Ops 30 has been announced by Playdom. There was an article on Marvel.com talking all about what's coming up, including new hero Spitfire, and Baron Mordo as a lockbox character. All sources seem to say it's going to launch on October 24th, which is a Saturday. This and more coming up on From the Helicarrier.
Then it's going to be a 1 week run. Right. After 1 week. Right.
25 tasks, 1 week with a 48 hour research and a 36 hour research. Perfect. Make it happen.
And Nikolai says, and that's how I run them all. So what do we have on sale, Klotz?
Well, we have the Small Hadron Collider is available for 96 gold. So if you didn't get it before, now's your chance. We also have the Rattling Maneuver AISO for Amazing Spider-Woman for 5 gold. And then we have a pile of PvP crap.
Yes, I did my rant on that. Now, I know in the lounge, I think it was, Emmett, you were asked about the Hadron Collider and if it was worth buying, and you gave some advice. Would you care to share some of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the funny thing about the Hadron Collider is you've got 4 very different attacks, you know, as like a multiple choice or multiple multifunction weapon. There we go. That's the word. Action one is a microanalysis, which is a team buff that triggers either supersymmetry, playing particles, and another dimension. Action 2 is a cosmic singularity, which is a ranged attack that exploits magnetism, downgrade, fried circuits, and reverse polarity. The third one is my favorite. It's the super sheer earthquake, which basically gives a ranged sonic attack and applies some of my favorite debuffs, foreshock and aftershock, which trigger before and after your opponent's attack. The fourth one is a dimensional rift with demon underlined there. Targets all enemies with an ethereal strike melee slashing attack, which applies sin and soul fire. So unlike some of our other weapons, like the one that did all of Crystal's abilities, or the one that kind of does some of Scarlet Witch's abilities, this one is 4 very different for very different attacks, right? Like you might want to use the Cosmic Singularity if you've got a Magneto team, for example, or let's see what else. I mean, reverse polarity, fried circuits. I don't know. Microanalysis is a team debuff. The Dimensional Rift is obviously magic with Sin and Soulfire. So a Ghost Rider, Satana, magic team, magic with a K. So it's kind of funny to have four very different attacks that are very, you know, for four very different styles of teams. I use it all the time with Avalanche and Null. Those are my PvP offense team. And so that ground attack is a great combo with Null's ground attack and Avalanche's ground attack, both of which are all enemy attacks that can't be protected against. So you're guaranteed to hit everybody. And even if the other person has a cube and it does the disoriented, you're almost always doing multi, you know, all enemy attacks. So you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Enchantress's stuff, you know, Enchantress's confusion abilities and disorient abilities, things like that don't have any effect. So I say it's worth it. 96 gold for the Hadron Collider. I would recommend picking it up. Really depends on what team you're running and if this is going to be complementary to the team.
So yeah, you wouldn't take it out with, say, Beast Enchantress.
I don't think so. No. I mean, Beast is going to keep whatever debuffs you get. So Foreshock, Aftershock, or Sin and Soulfire, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of debuffs that come from these. So having Beast lock those in isn't bad. And I don't know if, it doesn't look like these would coincide with any of Enchantress's abilities, but, just the fact that they're going to have all these debuffs isn't such a bad thing. As far as multifunction weapons, I'd actually get rid of the cube in my build out before I got rid of the Small Hadron Collider.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. That's, I guess that says it all.
It doesn't offer any health regen, but you can, you know, with five slots, you can stick something in that does if you don't have the cube or don't want to use the cube.
Yep. So now I kind of wish I had 96 gold.
Well, you've got, what is it, the 29th? Is that right?
That sounds right.
They put these in a font with a nice little glow effect around it. Oh, no, October 23rd. October 23rd, and there is chat, there is talk that the code divers have found a potential gold sale this weekend. So Friday is when you've got to buy this by, and over the weekend there might be a gold sale. So,
so we'll see. We'll see. We'll roll the dice and see what happens.
Exactly. I would say pick it up. I mean, it's like the weather control device. It's one of those things that, you know, you're almost going to regret not picking up, in my opinion.
Cool. Now I'm going up against a lot of teams, and we're going to talk about the alt of the Amazing Spider-Woman. Mm-hmm. She is showing up more and more on the defensive teams, and there are times she's my focus fire target for sure, because she can hit like a truck. Mm-hmm. And that magnetic velocity is nothing to play with. Yeah, so I've actually swapped to, I was focusing on some other people, getting them up to 15. And by the way, if you're going to run Emma Frost on your offense or even defense, you really need her to be 15 so that you can trigger her counterattack, her pre-counter manually. You know, okay. So the new Infiltrator EISO came out before last week, and right. We were talking about it, and some people were talking about using it with her. So I tried that. It works really, really well. However, at level 14, you have to have a tactician. Otherwise, it's not triggering nearly as much. It does trigger, just not as much. However, if there's a tactician that gives her the counter-strike that the infiltrators get with all the bonuses, then it triggers a lot. So if you have her level 15 and you can manually trigger the counter-strike, which is what her class buff is, right? So you just buff it before you do the turn. Anytime somebody tries to do an aggressive attack, essentially a non-passive or non-stealthy attack, she'll pre-counter it, and then they'll do their attack, and their brain will pop. So it's really nice. It's not 100%, right. But it works pretty well. However, I've got to get the Amazing Spider-Woman off the playing board because she will just, she's a tank. And so I've now got her, when I'm not playing PvP, I'm actually going through 112-2 with the Amazing Spider-Woman trying to get her leveled up to get her on my defensive team because, yeah, it's like that. So we got her alt, and I've been playing with it, but you said you had not had a chance yet to...
No, I have not picked up either one of her alts yet, surprisingly. I'm usually like... You know, all right, let's buy it. I haven't bought either of them, and I'm kind of waiting to see feedback from you guys and King to see what how people are feeling about the Amazing Spider-Woman alts. I feel like the CVE thing kind of scares me, right?
Okay. So there's been a report.
Let's talk about that first, yeah.
That there's that the alt in PvP, either on offense or defense, will add, will possibly add a CVE. It's not 100% of the time. There's no specific setup. It's just happened to multiple players. There's a thread on the forums now. Nikolai brought this to my attention today. It says it's not a specific configuration. It's just in her alt. But he also thinks that she has to make a move first because he's faced her without letting her get a turn and he didn't get a CVE from the fight. So it's not 100% of the time. It's more of a possibility. So watch out. And I got to say, I've got the alt, and I'm curious to see what the King says. Now, granted, my Amazing Spider-Woman is only level 6. And again, I'm doing the 112-2, getting her leveled up. I bought the alt because her alts are super cheap. So cheap. It's under 50 CP for her expensive one for the Scrapper. Mm-hmm. And it's under 40 CP for the blaster, which she's already a blaster. Now, of course, you lose one EISO slot because it's an alt, but right. You gain supposedly, actually, I'm going to pull it up right here so I can read it a little better, but you gain a skill or a passive, I guess is a better way to put that. Let me grab it real quick here. Let's see. So you gain, she already has Amazing Spider Sense with chance to evade an enemy attack and then apply Dizzy. She also already has Spider Equilibrium, which is the one that'll get you. It's the gains magnetic velocity after attacking, which improves strength and something else on her. Now, her alt gives you Thirst for Vengeance, chance to pre-counter webbed attackers, and your web slingshot is now stealthy. So stealthy mode has actually, I've seen work a lot with her. So I can attack anybody I want going through 112-2, especially if you know, in round two of the first battle of 112-2, you come up against the combat suit and the evil Captain America and evil Hawkeye. I forget the Hydra names for them, but the Hydra versions of them.
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, the suit will protect. So you can't, you have to take the suit out first. Well, her being stealthy, I can get around that. I don't get her webbed attack to proc as much. The impact webbing has a chance to apply web to all enemies. I've seen it proc. It's random. I've seen it like go nuts in a round, and I've seen it not do much in a round. However, it hits really hard, and you automatically get two shots of it. So if it does proc, you're already on your third application of the main target that you shot. She's a good character. And this pre-counter against webbed, it definitely sounds really good. I haven't seen it trigger a lot, but it, on all things being equal, it's just equal. Mm-hmm. So you have a good blaster version without her alt. You have a good, I went and got the blaster version because I'm still getting used to playing her and I didn't want to vary too far from the formula there. And so I've got a good blaster version with her with a chance to pre-counter. We'll see what King says and see how it goes through the week.
Cool. Okay.
Well, and I'm not going to put her in, I won't put her in PvP, so you don't have to worry about CVEs if you come after me.
Good. Yeah, that does kind of make me lean more towards picking her up, and I still haven't decided again if, which one I'm going to pick up. Let me pull them up here because it's a scrapper or blaster version.
While you're doing that, pull that up. Nikolai just made a quick note to me. Take Amazing Spider-Woman through 112-5 with Magneto. Put exploit webs on Magneto's level 1 and 2 to do more damage, and you'll get 1180 XP per 20 energy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That'll race her through the level in juice.
Yeah. So that's there. There's a tip for everybody. That's the tip of the week. Take Amazing Spider-Woman through 112.5 with Magneto and make sure he has exploit webs on both his level 1 and level 2 attack.
Nice.
There you go. So you got your thing?
Excuse me?
You're pulling your thing up.
Oh, yeah, right. The blaster and the scrapper.
That's like, not appropriate behavior for the show. Save well, that for breaking the panel.
That's breaking the panel right. Talk right there.
Right. So, yeah, blaster version or scrapper version. And yeah. Probably, you know, just between the two, I'd probably lean more towards the blaster version just for the armory bonus. But it's also cheaper. So that's kind of more of a
incentive. I like putting the... explosive EISO with her so that when she does hit, she's got double chance to hit everybody. Because with the explosive one, you're putting, was it bleeding and burning? I think it is. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, with her own webbing, you're putting webbing across the board too. So
now, did we mention her AISO that also has released the rattling maneuver?
Clot mentioned it in the sale. I was just looking at what rattled was. Okay. And apparently rattled is they take more damage from counterattacks and pre-counters and follow-up attacks.
Oh, okay. Oh, really? Interesting.
That's from what I can pick up. I didn't quite find it listed because I didn't Google it on the wiki. I'll go there now. Mm-hmm. I Googled it on just Google. But I got to find that. But that's Omegig, a savior, rattle set is equal pincushion.
Okay.
That's what that is. So you just take more damage from the follow-up attacks and counterattacks. And so, yeah, somebody said she'd be great with Rocket, Noir, or Union Jack. I could see
right,
that,
one of
too.
Those, yeah, with all those follow-up attacks. It's Omegiga Savior, I guess. Omegiga Savior.
Yeah.
My favorite letter of the Greek alphabet is Omegiga. okay, so that's all about Amazing Spider-Woman, and my guess is that King already has a thing about her alts and whether or not they're worth it. So
yeah, Timmy says Timmy says King did a video. He says a pass.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean it's cheap. I wanted to get my hands on it, so I do not regret the purchase. I'm happy so mm-hmm. far.
Cool. Other things to announce from Playdom. Spec Ops 30 was announced. There was a nice little Marvel article that talked all the way through about it, and that was almost an English sentence that talked about it. I did a walkthrough of it. Spitfire, an older, much older character, we talked about her last week on the show, is going to be the new Spec Ops hero that you unlock. And lockboxes, arcane lockboxes that you get as part of the event are going to give you Baron Mordo.
Which is going to be interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of these other lockbox characters we've gotten, I kind of remember when they were, you know, teamed up with a hero to kind of do some heroic things. But with Baron Mordo, it must have been like some sort of Doctor Strange.
It has to be.
Special issue or something like that.
Yeah.
But it should be interesting. I mean, that guy practically lives in phased land. So it'll be cool to see how you can kind of take advantage of that. Spitfire, there's so little we know about the character unless you're a longtime Marvel reader. Somebody was saying that she was part of, she appeared in Thunderbolts for a while, but this is an interesting character to choose for a hero when there are so many newer characters that they haven't even touched upon as far as adding to the game, just to go that deep into the Marvel well.
Here's a quick question to Pokey Process. Since when was Kang and Avalanche been good guys? Kang was a good guy in Young Avengers, mm-hmm. where it's all set in the future where the kids of the Avengers are there. So he had to actually kind of raise himself, which is a whole different paradigm. Avalanche has always been a hero for hire. Well, not hero, but a thug for hire. So,
right.
Excuse me, sir. I believe you were referring to Iron Lad. But yes, Kang.
Same thing.
I mean, you're just casually being like, yeah, Kang's a good guy, but it's
he still wasn't the enemy in that movie. He took care of those kids with old Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, it's damn phone is just blowing up today. So anyway, that's my take on it. So I don't know. It's headcanon, cool. Man. It's headcanon. You just kind of make it up as you go.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, looking at this article from Ben Morris, Tony Sherrill's talking about Spitfire and in the game, which I like this. She's part vampire, part android, part human. Right. She has a lot to offer when it comes to slaying vampires. Her hyperspeed allows her to take two actions every round with an increased chance to go first. Female Quicksilver, anybody? That's right. Add-on. He didn't say that. Yeah. Her together passive has a chance to allow allies to join in on single target attacks. This sounds more and more like a meta breaker here. So she's Quicksilver. She's Quick Lord all in one team right now. She's Star Lord with his alt. She has the alt. Her together passive lets everybody join in. She can go first. She has two attacks. She has a nasty bite attack that has fatal blow and will restore her to full health and stamina if an enemy is knocked out from her bite. In addition to her accelerated healing passive that gradually restores health during combat. Holy crap. Wolverine, Star-Lord, Quicksilver, and who would be the fatal blow restoring health person? That'd be Heroic Age Iron Fish
Valkyrie.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. I mean, it's like, holy crap.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting, totally interesting to see how she, Blade, another good comparison. It'll be very interesting to see how she plays. Right, because on paper,
Angela,
she sounds like super, super powerful. Maybe, I hate using the term OP, but maybe OP.
Yeah,
but
you know, once we actually take her out for a drive, she's going to be the Punisher.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know. She sounds really cool. She, as far as a playable character, and Baron Mordo will have okay, Shield of Seraphim gives him a chance to shield himself from damage. Only if an ally is low in health will he consider throwing up a shield on them. So you might get it on your allies, but not nearly as much as with Doctor Strange. He can lock down opponents with his Crimson Bands of Sidorak, which works like Invisible Woman's Force Cage. He can phase, and when he's phased, he has several attacks he can use that will not remove his astral form and can bypass cage effects. So you can lock him down in the cage, and then you can hit him anyway as long as you're in astral form. He's also immune to fatal, near fatal, and brutal effects. So they're not nerfing him from being a boss. It sounds like they're giving us all of his attacks that we faced him on, which is not always the case. Who was it? There was some bad guy I was very excited to get, and then they didn't give us any of the good attacks. They took all the good attacks away and just gave us the standard ones. I don't remember who that was. It's early on. It's a long time ago.
Okay. I don't remember.
And Halloween themed gear is we get a witch's doll, broom, dagger, and wand to an amulet, spell book, magic salt, and a vial of ingredients that contains eyeballs, tentacles, and a tooth. There's a dreaded price for using the vial of ingredients, though. Halitosis. Which I still don't freaking understand what halitosis is supposed to do in this game. So no, but you see what's missing from this?
What's that?
Our candy buckets.
Oh right,
candy
right.
Buckets are not listed. It's no candy this year for the Halloween. It doesn't sound like.
Now
it
we don't
like
know though what the stuff. What the fruit pie does. The Hostess pumpkin fruit pie.
Yeah, they did. By the way, talk about that in the article.
Yeah, but we did talk about that last week, right? That
yes.
You know, we said, oh, this looks just like. It reminds me of those ads they used to have in the comic books for Hostess fruit pies, and sure enough. Ben Morse confirmed that in that article. So that's pretty funny.
That'd be interesting. But please, Pokey Professor, I'm begging you. M.A. Clairborne says halitosis does nothing. They're laughing. Laugh out loud. The joke's on you, but fall for not knowing the secret of halitosis. Now, Ree actually helped. Thank you, Ree, for actually being helpful. He says, if I'm not mistaken, halitosis keeps your teammates from protecting you. Halitosis does let you get an extra turn from a toothbrush. It's the dumbest thing. It's funny. It's funny, but it's dumb. What do we have? What else do we have?
Well, we didn't really talk about the covers, right? Because they are those. I don't know if those sales are still going on.
Oh,
yeah. You
yes.
could actually directly buy any of the comic covers that you're missing.
Oh,
for,
Lord.
Instead of buying lockboxes. Yeah, there we go. Comic cover sale. Let me see if it takes me there. I don't know if it's still going on, is it?
However, the caveat was that they were 40 gold a piece.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're missing one, right, and you're not like one notch away or two notches away on the
40 gold.
I know. Right? That's what I'm saying though. Like, let's say you've got seven covers and you haven't even started to fill the bar for that eighth cover. Then
you should still probably gamble and buy 10 at a time.
No way. Cause I mean, you could, well, all right. I guess saying,
so I think it was Ree. And if I'm misquoting you, Ree, if you're actually somebody else, I apologize. But I think it was Ree who chats with me during the week. And he said that if you were to fill the entire 8-bar slot with 10 lot boxes, you know, 10 spins each, that's 90 gold. So buying the cover for 40 gold is over 50% off.
But although I kind of thought you're not guaranteed
40 gold.
You're not guaranteed to fill the bar, right? So
you would fill on the last one 90 gold 10 lot boxes each.
What I'm saying, Charles, is that you could fill it on the very first set of 10 lock boxes you buy.
It's
a chance.
It's a chance.
But you got to figure out, all right, what are the chances that I'm going to get it within 4 or 40 lock boxes? Because that's basically what the cost would be the equivalent to. And it's
Pokey Prof is trying to say in chat that Klotz, that's actually entirely reasonable considering the lack of randomness. I disagree pretty strongly. Brian, did you have more to say before I cut you off?
I don't think so. I think it's just basically, you know, what is the, if you've got a completely empty bar, your last bar, which is going to have 8 notches before it goes to the end, what is the average chance that you're going to get the right cover you need? It's a 1 in 8 chance, right? So 4 would be the middle of that, meaning 40 gold. I mean, it's basically 50, 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. This is just kind of like the, however, let's just get it and get it over with.
It seemed high price. It really felt that way.
Oh, it is.
Way.
It is a very high price. Okay. I think it's way overpriced.
Okay.
Okay, but the packet of 50 boxes when they are on sale for that particular hero comes to, I think it's 36 gold, right?
Oh, really? Okay.
Because it's got a big discount.
It's a huge discount. Yeah, I don't
it's a
know
huge discount. The thing to consider in that situation is you might get lucky. You know, let's say the scenario we're presenting is that you're at your last cover, you haven't opened any others, or you've opened maybe one, and you know you've gotten like one cover maybe, or not cover. I mean, you know, you've gotten one dupe. I still think it's better to buy the boxes because you get all the stuff out of the boxes.
Right. So you might get more CP.
You might get the weapons. You might get – there's lots of stuff in there. Now, a lot of that stuff is garbage. I'll readily admit that. But it's just – it's insane. Like that it's too high.
Yeah.
25, maybe 30 gold, I wouldn't have said – I would have been like, oh, that's pretty fair.
Right.
25 is probably the sweet spot. I think
25 would be the sweet spot. Yeah.
Because then it makes it so that it's not, you know, it costs you 200 gold to get a character outright. You know, and that's not bad. That's pretty fair for these lockbox characters. However, in the grand scheme of things, when we compare it to all the cost of the other characters in the game, how many of the lockbox characters are worth that investment?
I don't know. Right. Well, see, okay, here's my particular offering. So supposedly, from what I understand, is that it will only offer you the covers you need to complete the character. So I have Satana, only have one left. So 1 of 8 is available to me. Destroyer, there are 2 listed for Destroyer that I would need to get. And Constrictor, there's 2 listed for Constrictor and 1 for Blizzard. And so to complete my collection, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 200 gold.
240 gold.
240 gold. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Math, whatever. 240 gold to complete my collection. It's actually not horrible to catch me up, but I'm not that far behind. I mean, you start throwing in, well, even Klotz, you need a lot of heroes. It's a lot of,
here's the other thing.
Seems really high. It's like the $5 collector's edition comic book at the store. You're like, I'll just take the regular version for $250. Thanks.
But the thing is, based on their pricing, you spend $10, you get 42 gold US. Okay.
Okay.
So they're saying that a cover is worth $10. So mm-hmm. they're saying that a lockbox character is worth $80 if you buy it outright because you missed it.
Well, if you're smart, you don't buy the first cover. you buy 10 lockboxes because you're going to get a new cover.
But that's my point. Like, this pricing is, I think it's kind of a slap in the face. I love that they're offering the feature. I think it's a move in the right direction. But they've really just got to roll back the greed, man. Like, you will sell more of these things if you make them affordable. Like, that's how is Walmart the most dominant big box retailer in America? Because they sell things affordably. Mm-hmm. You know, you buy more stuff because you can afford to. Now, there's a whole bunch of – we could have a whole show about the economic implications of their business model.
Right.
But the point is they make sales on volume. If MAA is trying to generate revenue through these different offerings that they have, making them relatively affordable so that when I buy $50 worth of gold, I'm going to want to spend it on stuff like that and not feel bad about it. I would buy a lot more and I would spend $50 on gold more often during gold sales or even just outside of, gold sales cycle if I felt like I was getting my money's worth. $10 for an eighth of a character, none of these characters are worth that to me. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. They just – I mean even like Magneto, and I spent money to get Magneto because I was late to the party on him. I bought lockboxes through the lockbox sale. And I've had a couple of the characters that I've bought, the 50 box bundles, I've – gotten two or three opens in and finished off, and I had a bunch of extras and I felt a little crummy about that, but I accepted it because I had gotten a reasonable discount, and at the time that was the only way to catch up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Because we had been offered no other options. They just need to make these things affordable and then people will buy them and people will – it's just – my ultimate frustration is if you make things affordable, people will spend the money.
It's the equivalent of an easy button, though, right? It's the equivalent of a. I don't want to go through the hassle of buying 10 and opening 10 and then not getting it and buying another 10 and opening 10. It's the people who don't equate gold in the game to real money like you do, knowing, all right, 42 gold is 10 bucks in the game. People just kind of associate it with, all right, I click this button, comes out of my PayPal account or off my credit card or whatever. And after I do that two or three times, I get a character. Great. I want that. And they don't have to think about it. They don't have to try it or do any math or anything like that.
And there is something to be said about that. I honestly, when I heard that these covers were on sale, I'm like, hey, I might throw $20 at it and see what happens. But then I saw the price. And mm-hmm. I'm not quite clot on relating money to gold. Because, yes, there's a relation. But once I bought it, it's like, okay, how do I get my most out of it? Yeah, had it been half of that, 20, 25 gold, 20 probably better. But 20
for sure. 20 probably would have put it in no-brainer territory for a lot of
people. You would have gotten $20 to $50 of my cash to mm-hmm. just cover those, to take them off. And I don't know. I can't put my finger on why. But when I saw the number 40, I was like, yeah, no. That's just – it makes me think about how much I hate Constrictor and what worthless piece of crap he is in the game. And I haven't seen much out of Destroyer, so that's the other one I don't have. Satana, I wish I had her, but not so much. I'm going to spend 40 gold to get the cover. I only need one cover, but I'm still not going to.
In a similar vein, when I first started playing again, one of the first characters that went on sale for lockboxes when I first got back in was Elektra. So I pulled the trigger on her because I did a little research. I asked around, and people said – now, this was almost 2 years ago. People said, oh, well, she was a linchpin on the Bleed teams for a while. So
yeah, she was.
And the idea was, well, I'll invest in her because she's a good Bleed character. And, if they put anything out that makes Bleed teams good again, she'll be, really good on that team. It's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. They've done nothing to support that style of gameplay since then. At least nothing significant. You know, you can't play that kind of attrition game anymore, really, if you want to be competitive. So my whole thing is, like, I've always thought that the lockbox characters are a little too exclusive anyways, because in other games, a character like this, something limited like this, would be like $50 or $40 or something like that. And to put that in perspective, $40, $50, $60 is a full AAA game. Like, that's your Skyrim as it comes out. That's your, you know, we've got Battlefront coming out soon. That's as soon as it comes out. You know, Grand Theft Auto, anything like that, big titles are $60 when they come out. But this is not that kind of game, and you're getting with six, you're just not even getting like a bunch of characters. It's not like you're unlocking all the lockbox characters for $60 or $100 or whatever. You're unlocking like one and a half. And that just seems crazy, you know what I mean, in the grand scheme of things. And especially when a bunch of these characters aren't up to par. So that's my whole thing. Is it's like I love a sale, and I love it when they give you options and a chance to catch up. But I don't like it when the way they do it is a huge cash grab where they're just preying on people's ignorance. And I really feel like that it's either the desperation pull or the ignorance pull is what they're looking for. And there are a couple characters that I would spend 40 gold on to finish off. But most of them I would not. Like, almost all of them I would not.
Now, the difference I would have is I honestly don't know what you're sitting on, Ibit, but I know that you've earned gold, you've paid your what you call your platinum tax, you've bought gold when you didn't need it. So you're probably, you might be sitting on a little bit of a stockpile. So basically
I'm sitting on the Earth number that that Marvel takes place in.
652?
616.
Ah, close. Okay, I know this is going to shock everybody, but those are the tiny, minute details that I forget about these things.
Yeah, I know. It's not as easy as, like, DC, which is Earth 1,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you
know?
Right. So what I'm trying to say is if I had a bit of a stockpile, this I would still feel the same way, but I probably would have spent the gold to polish off my collection because – I'm not as driven as you are, Ibit, but I'm right behind you on it. I really want to collect it all type of deal. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. When they first brought out AISOs and made a store for E and AISOs, I think collectively the whole community went, we're not paying for that stuff. Mm-hmm. But as they really created more stuff, and Hybrid helped for me personally, Hybrid helped change that game of, hey, here's a character that you're about to get. Either, I forget if we got, he's Lockbox, he's a bad guy, so we got him through the Lockbox. You're about to unlock the lockbox. Here's all these alts that automatically come with him. And here's all these AISO that fit the different alts and do different things. And when it was just the opportunity and how they changed the paradigm for me there, that I went, okay, I will look at buying these things. I actually bought a one of those webbed AISOs the other day because I'm using more webbed guns and webbed characters, spiders everywhere. So it's like, okay, it took some time. But it changed my perception to, like, I don't mind spending 5 gold. 10 gold? That's like, you're making me think about what this is going to do for my team and my style. 5 right. gold is like, that sounds really good right now.
Exactly.
I'll buy it. It's almost like an impulse buy.
Yeah.
And so that's, I love the option. I'm with Klotz. Kudos, Playdom, for the option. I think it's going to take a lot more times of doing this. And I really think you should tweak your price down to 2025 as well. But this being the first time out, I think you're going to get the no-brainer people. Like you said, the desperation, the easy button, or, you know, hey, I've got this stockpile of gold, it's not doing anything, I can polish it off. But if you're going to do it on a regular basis, I think a lower price or packets. You 40 for 2 packs, because I need 2 for a couple of the characters. 40 for 2 pack would have been done. You know, which I know brings it to 20, but... It still keeps that number if they're because I know business people, and Brian, you do too, and Klotz, you do too. You know, sometimes people get stuck on a number. Well, if you're stuck on that number, change the other side of it. Give me 2, 3, whatever comics for it. That's all.
Yep, I think it makes sense.
My big point, like, because there's been some comments in chat and stuff that, like, some insinuations that we don't understand what the actual purpose for the cover sale is. Contrary to that, I do understand what the cover sale is for, and I think it's awesome. I just think the price is too high. Like, almost the price on almost everything in this game is too high. The thing is, these things will sell and they will generate more revenue and have a more vibrant player base if they price things affordably. The games that have microtransactions that price things at a reasonable level, they make tons of money. Like,
Clash Clans and
exactly. Well, yeah. Okay. I thought you were saying Contest of Champions for a second, because that game's been criticized for having its prices too high too. I always draw the point to like Marvel Heroes. Marvel Heroes is a full 3D game and you can buy characters for less than $10. Entire characters, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you play them for 60 levels, and if you shelve them, that's fine. But there, and there's lots of characters to choose from. Not quite as many as MAA, but lots. Most of the same characters. Other games like Puzzle Quest. Puzzle Quest had some decent pricing, but they also did some overpriced things too. And it can hurt them. And you see the good games that stick around, they change their pricing model so that things are, like you were saying, McFall, there's that number, there's that break point where I'm like, nope, I'm not going to spend money on that anymore because it's gotten too high. But if you put it close to that line where you're talking $5, $10, $15, maybe $20, up to $20, then people are much more willing to pull the trigger. If you give them value for that price range, they're going to buy a lot more and they're going to do it a lot more often. That's when you start getting people who are going to, instead of spending $50 a month at the gold sale, they're going to start putting in $20 a week because they can, you know, and they want to, and they see things that they want. That's my point, is that it'd be better for everybody involved. It'd make more money for Playdom, and it would be better for the players, more value for them, if things were priced a little bit lower so that when you threw your money in the system, you got more than just one thing at a time and you could get a few things. And I'm telling you, it would knock the doors off the city. I mean, they'd profits would skyrocket.
Well, let's
so good.
I think there's also the proven history or the proven track record that they will not go down in price in the future. So relating this to another game that I think fits is Infinity, Disney Infinity. Because it's a collect them all character. They make physical model characters that you play the character in the game. So you have to shell out $12 to $15 per character flat off the shelf to play this game. Now you get three characters to start with. You get the $50 brand new AAA game. You get the portal for all for like $80 to start with. But to keep getting the characters, you're spending $15. However, as Klotz talked about, I think in one of the breaking the panels possibly, we know in retail, in time, we know when you first launch it, it's going to be the guys who have to be first, the people who just have some disposable cash to spend, and the ones who, I don't mean this in a negative way, but the ones who spoil their kids and go, oh, we'll get you everything all in one set. But the mainstream longevity of it is the people more like me that will buy one for my kid in a couple months, you know, when he saved up his allowance or I'm a little bit bucks up, he's been good on his chores or whatever, I'll buy him another one. And his birthday comes up, he might get three more. But it's that longevity. That's how they know they stay alive, is they know people are going to buy them. And on top of that, the older they get, they drop in price. And this is where Klotz talked about. He picked up, I can't remember if it was Infinity or if it was Skylanders, but you picked up one of those kits for way low price because it's the last year's version. The new one just came out.
Oh, yeah. I literally started playing the Skylanders game only because I found it for like $25 for PlayStation 4 at Walmart.
And we know in retail that will happen. And Playdom, that won't happen. And that's honestly, I think that's my biggest sticking point over 40 gold is I can't wait. Well, I can wait, but if I wait, it still will be 40 gold the next time they launch it and the next time after that. How I have no hopes of it going, hey, at some point it'll be 20 gold.
Because if they do that, they're going to really piss off the people who spent 40.
Right.
Because that's kind of the model they set up. And you know, going back to it, I think
there's always going to be
fix a lot of this.
There's always going to be somebody who's butthurt about it. Like, either going to be the people who got it the hard way and they're going to be like, oh, you shouldn't let people get stuff that I got. Or you're going to get the people who spent the 40 on the impulse. That's happened to me in so many games. I've bought something through a microtransaction and a week later it goes on sale and I'm like, but no, I could have had it cheaper. My big thing, like my big takeaway is like, in a lot of other like AAA games that are not just online only, once you buy the game, you own it.
Yes.
You know, if you buy it, even if you buy it through Steam at a, it, like I buy most of my games through Steam and I usually wait to get them at a steep discount. If Steam goes away forever, it'll be a crushing blow to my life. But like further, yeah. I will have saved so much money by not buying things right away when they came out that I'll understand. You know what I mean? If it happens not anytime soon. However, with something like you were talking about with Disney Infinity or Skylanders or whatever, you buy that game for your console, you take it home, you buy the figures for it, you buy all that stuff, you own that stuff forever. You can keep playing the game. They might take down the online servers, you know, like Xbox Live might go away, sure, PlayStation sure. might go away someday, but you can still play the base game. My biggest problem is MAA is literally the most expensive game I can think of price-wise, like just the price for their microtransactions, and there is no guarantee it'll be here a year from now. There's no guarantee it'll be here a week from now, to be honest.
Yeah.
We're pretty sure it will be, you know, and it'll probably be here a year from now as well. But that's my point is it's like these things, this is very, you know, transient, this game is. It could just go away, and it will at some point. Someday they will say, like they do with Playdom.com, sorry, bros, closing up shop. And a lot of the other things that are out there that you could spend this same kind of money on and have the same kind of monetization, you get a lot of residual value no matter what kind of thing. And then you talk about like the Skylanders and the Disney Infinity and stuff like that. You can always go to, you know, GameStop and mm-hmm. be like, hey, mm-hmm. I need like $2 for each of these figures because I want something back out of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so there's options with a lot of other things, like a lot of the game, the tabletop gaming I play, you know, I've talked about in the past, like games like Magic the Gathering, miniature games like HeroClix, stuff like that. A lot of it will lose value, but I'll always have something. You know what I mean? The money I put into it will give me something that will always be there. And I just don't feel that with MAA. So I think the pricing should be proportionate to the fact that I don't have any
thing. Permanence.
In, you know, nothing. Yeah, no permanence, mm-hmm. nothing tangible to hold on to. So
now I the flip side of that too, I agree with you. I get that. I regret nothing about the money I spent on this game. I've enjoyed playing every minute.
Nothing.
I do. My wife gives me grief about buying movies with Vudu, you know, the Vudu service and you know, cloud-based stuff. But when I spent money on this game, she's like, oh my God. And it's like, but no, it's not tangible. And yes, it can go away, but in my mind, I can say I have something for that. I spent gold, changed it to CP, Ibit cried a little bit. But then I bought some heroes. I have these characters that other people don't have. And I have this next level of enjoyment. So I regret nothing on paying about it. I also do have to consider every time I go into my bank account or my PayPal or whatever to consider buying gold, how much more enjoyment am I going to get out of it? And when that, I think that's the ultimate thing in it. It was price versus enjoyment because there is no permanence. We understand that fully. There's no permanence to this game, and that's fair enough. But so what? How much more enjoyment would I get versus not having the money? And when it came down to the covers, it just didn't make the cut. So I guess with all of that, bummer.
There's a lot to cover.
And you wanted to take my name away. Yeah, boy.
Yeah, see, just every time I poke you, you come back hard. So that came out so wrong. My apologies. Let's do the professor. Professor, dig me out of this. Here we go.
Greetings, agents, and welcome back to an MAA microanalysis. I am your friendly neighborhood poker prof, and today... I am being bothered by a rather pushy demon. But that won't distract me from doing my job here and showing everyone some of the lesser-known heroes and how they could be more useful. And this time around, I decided to pull in a hunter of demons and vampires alike, Blade. If there's one thing to be said about Blade, is that he represents a group of heroes that need to follow a certain rotation of their abilities to be useful in battle. Sometimes, it's not always easy to discover the rotation when a hero is first introduced, and as such, a lot of agents will dismiss them as weak. Blade's own rotation requires a bleeding enemy, and if Blade is the one having to do this himself, it can slow him down. After this, though, you want to attack the bleeding foe with Dead by Dawn, granting him his quickening. With that, you're all set, since from this point forward, Blade grants himself 2 turns with his final skill, allowing him to set up bleeds and then gain power from them. Oh, and the buff he gets from Bloodlust, that stacks with Quickening, granting Blade a full 20% bonus to all of his stats that can't be removed by dispelling effects.
Pathetic.
Oh, quiet you. Now, let's add in some ISOs to make him even better. His personal AISO, Lambent, makes it so that he's capable of placing internal bleeding on the enemy, as well as making the attack magic and ethereal in nature. This opens up the Resonant ISO to him, allowing Blade to heal himself every time he uses his first skill, which as a scrapper is all the time once he hits level 15. Wide Open on Dead by Dawn synergizes very well with Tenderize, especially considering his melee-centric kit. Gracious also works well for Bloodlust, helping out Blade in the stamina department, and the Aggressive and Combatant ISOs both work well for his constant attack on two turns. Oh, and before anyone decries how useless Blade is against bleeding immune foes, he still gets Quickening if he attacks someone who's shredded. Blade is a strong hero, overlooked mostly because of a kit that's not exactly the most cohesive or the easiest to set up. Once he starts going, though, the Daywalker is very difficult to stop. And there are just so few heroes who are immune to mind control and disoriented. Head back to the Helicarrier agent and tell them,
hell is calling.
All right. For Halloween agents, we'll be going over the Ghost Rider. But not just in the microanalysis. For the first time, I'll be doing a character breakdown of the Spirit of Vengeance at the same time. So be sure to tune in.
That's going to be awesome. Cool. He's so much fun.
He is. And awesome way to step up the production values, man. Last week it was the motorcycle, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And now we've got the demonic echo voice. Love it.
It's very cool. So yeah, that's what everybody guessed, that he's going to be talking about the Ghost Rider for mm-hmm. next week. And there you go. You get to look forward to that. I'm looking forward to it. And thank you. I'm going to listen to this segment again, Professor, because I've been more and more interested in playing Blade a lot more lately, because once I discovered the Daywalker, I think it's the Daywalker passive, but the one where he's dizzy and all that crap won't mess with him. I've been like, yeah, I loved his movies. I loved the character in the comics. And I was very much looking forward to playing him in the game. And he was kind of weakish, but following that, what you're talking about, sounds like he's going to be somebody to go up against hard. So that's going to be awesome. I guess, do you have any comments, or we want to roll on to the king?
Let's get the king.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, just to briefly recap on last week's segment, I was talking about how I wish they would share some information with us, especially since they didn't say anything at New York Comic Con. Now, just the other day, they gave us some more information, a lot of it that we knew, on Spec Op 30. And so I'm definitely excited about that. We're going to be getting Spitfire and Baron Mordo, which we knew for quite a while, but they also seem pretty excited about the pumpkin pie, though I'm not sure why. Besides that, we are going to be fighting quite a few cool Halloween-themed enemies. Of course, Dracula is going to be the group boss, and that's great news. My silver is definitely getting depleted, and although I do have a way to go, it does go faster than you think. Besides that, we're facing Hela, the Goddess of Death, Morgan Le Fay, Harold and Umar the Unrelenting, plus I'm sure a bunch of vampires and probably demons. But as far as the unlockable characters, I think we have some sense of what Baron Mordo can do. However, Spitfire was definitely a nice surprise. So far we know she has hyper speed and that allows her to take two actions every round, with an increased chance to go first. So hello, Lady Quicksilver. Then her Together passive has a chance to allow allies to join in on single target attacks. Right there, she already sounds incredible. I seriously cannot wait for this one. But on top of that, they said she has a powerful bite attack that has fatal blow and restores her to full health and stamina when an enemy is knocked out from that attack. In addition to her accelerated healing passive that gradually restores health during combat. At least judging from this, she sounds like the best backup character in quite a while, and possibly right up there with the best of all times. Of course, it all remains to be seen, but it really does sound vicious. those fast attack teams may have actually gotten even better. But yeah, that's the upcoming Spec Op, which I assume comes out this week, possibly today. And I made a mistake I haven't in a long time. I actually accepted my gifts. Try not to do that. That way you can get unstable ISO 8, and it'll give you a leg up in the Spec Op. But after just some of my thoughts on the news, going back to last week's segment, it was going to be about Generalist Hyperion. I just want to let you know that's going to be the next video on the channel, the All Hail the King episode featuring the Generalist alt for Hyperion. And in case you forgot, we're going to use Iron Fist, Angel, and Heimdall. So yeah, with any luck, that'll be posted later today. I do once again have a massive test in statistics tomorrow, so I'm a little bit preoccupied with that. And by the way, just to complain a little bit about that, why wouldn't you just have a midterm and a final? I don't get why you have to cram in three tests. Also, he calls them quizzes, but they're one-third of your entire grade. So that's not really a quiz. It's misleading. Anyways, moving on to this week's segment topic. And we're going to wrap this one up pretty quick. My plan is to use the Amazing Spider-Girl in her scrapper costume. This, of course, hinged upon her being level 15, but we're going to be training her in the next day or so. She's very close to that next level. So once we get that done, she'll be good to go. And Close the Gap should make quite a difference in this build. So with her general amazingness, and the fact that she will be a level 15 scrapper, plus that rattle debuff from her new AISO, we're going to team her up with fellow spider, Spidey Noir, as well as Star-Lord and Rocket Raccoon. Now, I wanted to use Union Jack as well, but he's another scrapper, so maybe we'll try that another time. One thing about that team is it'll definitely enrage some bruisers, and there's plenty of them out there. But we'll still try it out. It could work. Though, not in the next All Hail the King. Like I said, the very next video should be posted today, and it's going to feature Hyperion. So I have to finish up work on that, and then get to studying. So we're going to end the segment there. I'd like to thank you all for listening, and then send it back to the host.
So, cool.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Yep, exactly what I was hoping with the Amazing Spider-Girl stuff, too. So, yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yep. It's going to be awesome.
Sorry to hear about your the tests and the quizzes. And
it's statistics, which is mind-numbing. From every, I never took it because just reading the synopsis, I was like, nope, not going to do that. You know, everybody's ever taken statistics says it's just, it kills your brain.
And it explains why he's so good at this.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a game built on statistics. I wonder if you ever played D&D.
D&D.
You have to ask him. Why don't we jump to From the Field, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Agent Scanlan writes in, says, hey, crew. Agent Scanlan sending this report in early, so maybe Klotz won't have to read it this time.
Well,
I could have made him read it. I you know, I go in there and I put the
names in. I was going to say, you stole my guy. Like, I always read his letters.
Do you want to read this? We can swap. Do you want to read this one?
Oh, yeah. It's super short. Okay. Agent Scanlan sending this report in early, so maybe Klotz won't have to read it this time. I don't have to. I want to. I'll keep it short. Since it's been some time now, how do you guys feel about the quick action versus free action change? Was it a necessary change? Too much change? Until next week. Agent Scanlan. I'm going to weigh in on this and say no comment. I think it's my personal feeling is that it's a little bit of both. I think it was a very drastic sweeping change, and I think it hurt some characters and some builds a little more than I think they intended. But at the same time, it's really kind of cleaned up those teams that were like, oh, I'm going to take 20 minutes of your life as I take a single round's worth of turns.
Right. Yeah.
As AI, it's not even like you're waiting for somebody to make decisions. It's just like, yep. So, I think I'm kind of right in the middle on the whole topic. Like, yes and no. It was necessary. Yes. Too much change. Maybe a little bit. But, you know, it's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, pretty much right there with you. I mean, I feel like they needed it to clear up some of the ambiguity of which things could get or should get canceled by some exhausted procs, exhausted debuffs. So I do like the fact that they cleaned it up and kind of reorganized it, but there were a few things that fell on the wrong line when that happened. But didn't affect my current build out, so I'm I'm okay with that.
Well, it really did break up the like all tacticians all the time meta. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Because that was kind of a thing for a while.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah, especially when they were doing the bonus turns plus, like you said, all the quick actions where the whole team would just be quick action. There's one, I haven't told the story forever. There was one battle a long time ago. I had to, you could not run away then. You couldn't abort a battle. You had to just refresh your screen. And I finally had to do that because the tactician agent had no offensive weapons. It was four quick action items plus his free turn. So, if he had a free turn, which I didn't have any blasters in, but basically I'd hit him, getting down to almost dead, and then he'd heal, done. And then I'd hit him, and it's just that endless cycle. I could never hit him hard enough to kill him from full health to zero health, and it was just a pain. So I'm glad that they changed some of that up. It made it easier for me to be more tactical about those kind of weapons I'm going to load in. So having two quick action items, because one actually stops being a quick action after the first turn, I do a free action and a quick action perhaps, you know. So I don't know if it's too much, but I think I'm with everybody else. It's right on 50-50, mm-hmm. Right in the middle there.
Agent Love Monkey writes in, says, greetings, Agent. I pose a question not only for you, but for Playdom as well. Recently, the Empowered Armors were released for general purchase at 30 gold each. Why isn't the Generalist Armor also for sale? I understand that it was available for free during the anniversary upon completion of covert tasks. I was very new at the time of the release and wasn't able to get it. I would love to have that free action stamina recharge ability. Anyway, Playdom, if you're listening, release the Generalist Empowered Armor for sale as well. Some of us would still like to pick it up. Agent Love Monkey. Yeah, good point. I had no idea that that wasn't part of the sale because you only see the things in the sale that you already don't have.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
I think that would be more than fair, you know.
For sure.
Yeah. Nobody's going to complain that, you had to pay for it when I got it for free.
Right.
You know, nobody's going to raise Cain about that. Or if you do, exactly. You know, slap yourself. Cause
stupid. And you're too easily angered is the problem.
Digital slap yourself. Come over here to my camera and slap yourself on my hand.
There you go.
Our Agent Raimi writes in, greetings, Agent. This is Agent Raimi. Just coming to say hello and also bring notice about Blizzard. Did anyone notice that the hero is lesser than the villain one? I wonder if that means like health.
Right. The one you have, probably weapons and such. I think he explains though.
Okay. Yeah. The issue is in his passive cryo suit. It says immune to ice attacks, burning and chilled. Which makes sense since he makes ice to not get chilled, unlike the hero who does. And that is confusing since a maker of ice gets hurt with ice. It's like saying sunfire does get burned. Sunfire gets burning or Iceman gets chilled, which I agree with the concept. It doesn't quite make sense.
Right.
Second thing is with it, which I know it's not the same thing, little side note. Red Hulk is also always amazed me that he can get burning because you'd think he's always building up heat. He's always putting off heat. He shouldn't get burning.
Should be immune to that. Right.
Yeah. And like to me, I know it's a suit, but Iron Man should kind of be immune to bleeding because it's a metal suit. It's one of those things. But anyway, it's just a little thing. Second thing is with his buff, Ice to Meet You, which gives him a chance to dodge attacks except for fire ones with 50% chance. Do you guys agree or not? We'll get to that question in a second. Also, if Chuck Norris was in MAA, he would get new things each day, and he would destroy the logo soon and catch the truck from Molly and throw it back on her. By now and out, it was Ice talking to you guys.
That was very punny.
Do you guys agree with the ice buff thing? To
touch back on that topic, Like, if you talk about it in the comic sense, like, you know, just because you're, like, for example, Sunfire, just because you're Sunfire doesn't mean you're immune to all forms of fire, you know, because there might be, there's magic varying degrees. Right, exactly. Yep. Precisely. But, like, some of the characters, like Iceman, for example, he is literally ice. Like, he.
Right.
He makes ice out of the air molecules and, you know, like, the, you know, what's in the air. Like, he just. he can just make it everywhere. You know what I mean? So he should not be largely affected by it. So I think that they should still take damage from like fire-based or ice-based attacks, but they should probably drop the debuff. Like maybe not drop the debuff automatically, but maybe drop it after one round kind of thing. Like you can never stack it up more than a round kind of thing.
Yeah.
Some kind of thing that says like, okay, maybe he's not completely immune to this, but because he's an ice guy and we're throwing ice at him, he's really resistant to it. You know what I mean? Right. So he's going to take a little bit of, you know, damage from it, but in the end, ultimately he's a man made of ice. So ice doesn't really do much. And the same with Sunfire and stuff like that. Because, yeah, it was funny. As soon as you mentioned Sunfire, I was like, well, he does put bleeding on him. Or not bleeding, but burning on himself. Yes. And that's actually one of the problems. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Iron Man. And Iron Man should be able to bleed because that suit gets messed up all the time.
I kind of see that. That was the headcanon I had, too, was, well, the suit gets messed up. But it just kind of seemed like on the surface that he shouldn't. But, yeah.
But yeah, no, we can't have perfectly like comic accurate combat, or else Hulk would be like virtually unkillable, and you'd have to just like lock him down with like Sue Storm or something. You know what I mean? Like,
it'd be boring. Yeah, exactly.
It'd be so tedious and annoying. But
so, and kind of playing off of the second of his points about the differences between the lockbox versions of the characters we get versus the ones that we play against as we go through the game. It just makes sense from a gameplay point of view for balance. Sometimes when they introduce these characters, certainly some of the original characters, they may not have even had the idea that they were going to be doing lockbox versions of them later on.
True.
So to bring in some of these characters with their full villain abilities might be, you know, overpowering and certainly wouldn't fit well in the balance. So yeah, it's a bummer. but it makes sense why they do that.
Yeah. Now you talk about Hulk not being able to be, he'd be boring or whatever if he was this full. Give him the Molly trigger. You do the same thing they do in the movies and the comics. He wears out. The stamina runs out. He goes to sleep. You make him sleep like every other turn when you've raged out, because I've always been so disappointed in all versions of the Hulk. The newest one being the best, the purple short Hulk is
Age the Ultron Hulk. Version.
Yeah. Yep. It's definitely been the best iteration of him, because I only stopped playing him because of the whole mind control thing. He wiped out my own team. So that's good, in my opinion, that he's able to get to that point. But I've been so disappointed. It's like Hulk smash. I mean, he took Loki by the ankles and whipped him around like he was a little girl's jump rope. You know, I don't get that in the game, and that's kind of what I get disappointed with. So I think there's some mechanics you could add to it, but for the most part,
if Loki wasn't a god, it would have absolutely pulverized every bone in his body.
Right. So I don't know. It's. I think the game does its best to definitely structure balance of gameplay with the love of the character.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Make him balanced. Make him as true to the character as you can possibly be, while keeping them vulnerable and powerful. You know, giving them the balance of both of those two things.
I do think that Blizzard should be immune to ice. That's just silly to me.
So. Well, all right. Let's get on. Agent Archdemon says, "Let's have a little chat about what." About PvP, of course. I know Charles likes these talks. This particular season was rather dull in terms of competition and number of participants, or at least that's how it seemed to me. Haven't had much opposition until I reached 2.3K, which I did in 250 attacks rather than my usual 500 plus. Don't quit your day job. I don't think you have one. I ended up using three teams this season on attack: Children of the Revolution, which is May and Vic; Blood Moon, by the way, each of these has trademarks. Nice job. Blood Moon, which is Moonstone, Nico, and Binding Psychosis, which is May and Frost. Infiltrator P5. What's Frost?
Phoenix 5. Emma Frost.
Emma Frost. Okay, right. Or Phoenix 5 alt. Okay, gotcha. Thank you. All except Vic were level 15. The only teams that were annoying were the usual Noir Coon. And I haven't heard the Noir-Coon description. That's hilarious. Since they added Charmed and Smitten to the magic warding preventions, which acted as an indirect nerf to Enchantress's usefulness. But one team was particularly annoying and resulted in dragged out fights and one or two losses. It was Kurth and Colossus, Phoenix 5 and Elite EISO. Dat creep lasted 5 to 7 minutes. That's an eternity for how I fight. The agent was usually decked with Scroll of Radamadahada, Chorizo, Irregulator, Cardinal, and Cube. This was mostly annoying due to the Irregulator shield proccing almost on every follow-up and Guardian Voice proccing every time an enemy had a turn, maintaining the entire team above 80% health. No real gripes except that freaking quick Kasari spear. Other than that, there we go. Oh, there's so many that's. There's like 11 that's all in 8
there
words.
There really are.
Yeah. No real gripes other than that, except that that freaking quick Kusari spear won't drop worth a damn. You know, a comma would have helped there. I want it for aesthetic purposes. Demon fled uses shady Mephisto poof skill. Yes. Day 79 since level 15 hit. 49 fully trained, 2 in training, 20 XP ready. Good Lord, dude. Lord. I don't even want to say how many people I think we're
going to upgrade Nikolai to Monster Spartan.
No kidding. I think we need a unhealthy Spartan is the
Wow, that's dude.
We need Super Spartans Anonymous for Nikolai.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
This it's been 79 education. Days since level 15 came, and almost all my people are level 15.
that's crazy. That's all. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Yeah. That's some cool breakdowns. I didn't know that magic warding or magic warding affected Charmed and Smitten, which is cool. Kurth and Colossus is an interesting team, but. For the most part, I mean, still, look at it, though. He's sitting up on, he's done over 250 attacks, which, geezy crazy. But he's sitting on 2,300 is his rating, you know.
Yeah.
1,550 is adamantium. He's at 2,300 plus. Yeah, no offense, but your advice doesn't work for me because I am nowhere near that. I could follow up fight that many times. But it's very cool. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Clots.
Landing gear sound in parentheses. Hello,
nice
three amigos. Agent Sketches here, back for some more MAA stuff. As far as the past few months, I've been tinkering around with some of the recent heroes, most notably Blizzard, who has a great skill set and can't. Sorry, there was a line break. who has a great skill set and can do pretty big stuff when properly set up. First off, Blizzard, who is all bleed and chill, happens to make for some massive damage when
like
using
Netflix
his level 9.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No.
Sorry.
Sit down, Grandpa. Rewinding a bit. First off, Blizzard, who is all bleed and chill, happens to make for some massive damage when using his level 9 against targets with those debuffs. But I have found an even better use for Donnie. It seems like he does great when having the explosive E-ISO, because I can't speak, sorry. Explosive E-ISO equipped, applying burning to the enemy team. But why on earth would a guy who freezes his enemies fight fire with fire? Well, if your agent has a weather control device, you can follow the pattern of Frigid to Scorched by using Hailstorm, then the Fire Tornado, as well as Blizzard's level 6. I have been using this strategy for a long time, and it works just right. I do, however, recommend letting Blizzard throw Burning on the enemies first, as the agent can then play Scorched after and continue the pattern on from there. All this makes Iceman look like a tiny snowball. Not that I'm giving him the cold shoulder.
Wow. It's a pun-ridden episode today.
Yeah.
I do, however, think Bobby has more immunity, which kind of makes me puzzle as to why Blizzard isn't immune to chilled, burning, and ice attacks just like his boss passive cryo suit. I do hope the PD team adds an E-ISO that grants him this passive. Anywho, I think I'm getting a bit too cold right now. Where should my next flight be to? Maybe somewhere warmer. Got to ask Wyatt first, since I'm not the one who flies these things. Agent Sketches. Whoosh.
So yeah, two people talking about Blizzard there and the issues.
Yeah. That's and that was cool. That was cool.
So he's the weather control device. You put scorched on, you put burning the scorched, and I guess you do the freezing and then ice. It's different going back and forth like that. Mm-hmm. I don't have Blizzard, so I don't care.
Yeah, might have to try this.
Well, I would like to see how it works for you. That'd be cool. Agent Averill says, greetings, agents. Agent Averill here again. Hope all is going well. I'd like to amend a statement in my last report about null and ignoring combo breaker. It turns out that any bruiser with the Elite EISO will be completely blasé, blasé, blasé. Sorry, sleep deprived, late night reporting and hip hop on the reporting and hip hop on the radio. It's oddly catchy though. Ahem. The Elite EISO makes combo breakers, interrupting Avengers, and all manner of stopping attacks not work as intended. Although Heimdall and the seemingly unloved, worthy Skrn / She-Hulk need verification. Sure, you'll do damage when you interrupt, and interrupted quoting marks will show up, but Null will still Ragnarok'em sock'em. Molly still drop kicks, and enemy agents will use a sword, because I get in trouble for saying that word. Grace, Mandible, and everything else in between as if nothing stopped them. Averill does all the right these things for me, I tell you. TLDR, this PvP is an era of scotum bags, trademark.
Scootum.
Nope, I was wrong with what I said.
The word is scootum.
So now my Iron Fist is one as well, trying to even the odds up. As for the lab, I forgot this to rein in someone's then new costume. Scoping AISO 8, Hyperion equals Hubbled. Scoped adds scoped. No kidding. The next attack against this target is guaranteed to hit and crit, ignoring most avoidance effects. It's like Tangled plus Staggered. It could also be made available to Deathlock. I sleep now, Agent Averill. He's actually a little wrong on this. Agent, if you have the Mandible, I believe it is, then you will never be interrupted as an agent. And yes, the Scutum, the ISO. Yeah, you place it and you won't be interrupted there either. They'll take the damage, but you won't be interrupted. So that goes for any agent as long as you have the Mandible. Because I'm running a blaster agent right now. And yep, they'll interrupt all day long. Interrupt will pop up. My face will rock back. I'll take some damage and I still go in. And it'll affect all of my counterattacks. So I can use the Rapier sword and the Black Roscoe. I can use either one of those, and as long as I have the Mandible equipped, they will still attack as well. It's like interrupted never worked. It's interesting, but to me, I know, yes, it's broken, but it's still fine because it's equal across the board. That's what it seems like. So I think that's it. Any comments on those letters, sirs?
Scutum. Noun. Plural. A large oblong shield used by the heavy legionaries of ancient Rome. Scutum.
I believe it's also in reference to the length of your beard.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I better hide behind this scutum because McFall's going to kill me.
Nice.
All right. So with that being said, let me throw a little Woodard on the sauce.
Well, hold on before you do that. Wait. Don't we want to talk really quickly about BTP and where people can check that out? Yeah.
Yes. Klotz, we have the first episode of Breaking the Panel up. Is that correct?
Yes.
Cool. Over at so we're still in phase beta, really, of launching.
Right. We're in our slow roll. Build up to the big plan here. We've solidified this behind the scenes recently. Is we're considering the first of the new year as the official full blown launch of the network. Mm-hmm. However, because our shows already exist and they do their thing, we're gonna roll everything out and kind of build up to it. And we have some awesome events coming up. Kind of like not directly a giant size team up event, but Brian has his Coverthon coming up just after
the Thanksgiving holiday on Black Friday. He will be doing 24 hours of music and mayhem for you.
The mayhem.
We are also going to do, we had talked earlier this year when we lost our good friend, Jesse Disco Booty Henderson. We are going to do an Extra Life event for him. We've decided on the date for that. We're going to do that the day after Christmas, so December 26th. So look forward to that. I'm going to do a 12-hour stint because I am not the I don't have the Herculean strength that Emmett has.
No, you're more sane, I think, really is what it comes down to.
I think you did that. You've been doing that standing up for the last couple of years.
The last 2 years, yeah. Yeah, standing up the entire time.
No, thank you. I will be sitting down, folks. I'm sorry. But
this time
yes,
on a treadmill.
those events are coming in the future. But in the meantime, this past Friday, we rolled out the very first episode of Breaking the Panel. And it is available over at Blog Talk Radio. And you can just search for Breaking the Panel there. We'll also have links in the lounge and we'll throw it up on the FTH Facebook. We've rolled out the first episode that we recorded way back in August.
Yeah.
So the conversation might be a little dated. Some, you know, more information might have come out and stuff like that. But it's still, I listened to the whole show the other day as I was prepping to launch everything. And I just wanted to make sure the audio was good and everything. And I had a good time listening to our own show. So I don't know. I'm just saying, you know. You should tune in and check it out because we had a really good conversation. However, I did talk a little bit too much at a few points, so I apologize to everybody, my co-hosts included.
We're finding our way. It's just fine.
Then this Friday, we're going to launch another two episodes that we had in the bag waiting to come out. And then we are going to start an every other week rotation where you will get a new Breaking the Panel every other week on Friday. And hopefully, for the most part, except when we get one of those weird months where we get an extra week every once in a while, we will have panel by panel with Charles and Uncle George. They will be on the opposite weeks on Fridays as well. So if you want to listen to some comic and geek-related stuff, you are going to have something every Friday in addition to the FTH show, which will still, you know, persist on, and all of the other shows that release on their regular schedules as well. So we've got some exciting stuff lined up for you. If you haven't checked out the first episode, it's out there. Go hit it up. If you got any feedback, you know where to reach us. You can also email at us at the email attached to that, you know, the description on that post on Blog Talk. And we will have a whole section on the website in the future for Breaking the Panel. We're just not quite there yet, but it's coming. And, you know, Mr. Brian is working very, very hard on that stuff.
I am indeed.
And we've got some amazing new artwork for it that Ibbot did. That's great. I'll be getting it up on iTunes hopefully this week for those of you who really use iTunes as their way to feed their podcatcher. So you'll be able to subscribe easily. But yeah, for now, you can go ahead and preview it. I believe we dropped it in the lounge, or we were supposed to. Maybe that was my job. I don't remember. But it's definitely on blogtalkradio.com. I believe it's / Breaking the Panel, but like a Clout said, sorry. That you can just get on Blog Talk Radio and search Breaking the Panel. It's going to be amazing. We're actually going to take off in just a minute here and go do a very new episode talking about things that are going on.
Which you'll hear in 6 months.
All right. So with all, here we go.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbot on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes, on the helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the pumpkin spiced boss has fled.